Blog Talk Radio.
When it comes to love, I do most anything. 'Cause if you have it in your heart, you know you're a rich man. There's just not enough to go around the world today. And if we have a little more, you know it'd be a better place. I can only go by what's happened to me, and now when it comes to love, you're gonna cry a little, hurt a little, feel a little pain in your heart, laugh a little, care a lot, take a look at what you got, 'cause when you're only human, we make mistakes, and we're gonna live to see another day, baby. Comes to love, I wanna have it all. Yeah.
that is my guy, Phil Perry. Well, welcome everybody to the series Relationship on in Social Media with Lennis and Tina. Tina might pop in later today. I just talked to her a little while ago. Anyway, what we've been discussing for the month of April is social media and relationships. There are so many questions and answers to this type of relationship. How much is truth? How much you just plain outright lying? How is the type of relationship affecting folks today? We have seen several hot topics under this umbrella. We are sure this is going to be a fascinating service, educating some folks, probably clowning some others. And then again, some folks are just ignorant to the ways of the computer. Okay, they may not be computer savvy. We shall not be throwing a rock or hiding a proverbial hand. We will be telling it like it truly is, and we want folks to become awake to this social media dating. Really, how safe is it for you and the next person? Now, last week we covered the myths of social media and relationships. So now this is the last one. I'll go back at the end of the show if we have time, just to go back over the myths real quickly. But anyway, we're going to be discussing now the impact of Facebook on your relationship. This is an article I deem very good by Dr. Cheryl Frazier. I don't know if you're aware of her or not. She's a really, really good psychologist. Excuse me. So anyway, I found her article, and I thought it was very good to explain. I think one impact the Internet has had on relationships is the spread of World Wide Web of potential deceit. When my generation started dating, we knew our guy was either home with his mom and dad at the hockey rink, basketball, or at school. All of his friends went to school with us, and no one was home when we called. The phone rang until we gave up. Today, the changes in how we connect are staggering. Not only do we expect to be able to connect y'all with our spouse any time of the day, we can also pick up his cell phone and have instant access to almost every aspect of his life. Psychologically, being wired is weird. For anyone over the age of 35, your old-fashioned hearts and minds have trouble keeping up with the changes. If we are not careful, technically, technology can trump trust. Well, many of Dr. Frazier's parents bring Internet issues into their therapy. One man gave his girlfriend his email password when she demanded it. She then scoured his communications looking for proof that he was untrustworthy, or if he was trustworthy. Her previous husband had cheated on her. Ha-ha! And like so many people, she has abandonment issues. Deep, irrational fears that will be portrayed again. But my patient gave up on his own dignity and privacy in his efforts to reassure her. Of course, no matter what information he provided, her fears were never laid to rest. She grilled him on a single line he had written to his high school girlfriend in an email 2 years ago. Not only did the patient feel violated, he lost respect for his partner. So, you know, predicted that relationship was not going to last, okay? To be psychologically healthy, we need some privacy and solitude, all right? Even when we're in love, we need time alone with our thoughts and time with friends. We can't be intimate with a partner without being in touch with the innermost parts of their private selves. And guess what? That means we need to leave our sweeties alone with their thoughts and friends, too. We don't have the right to know everything they think. When we enter into a monogamous, relationship, we should get exclusive rights to what is between our partner's legs, but not to what is between their ears. In the information age, this becomes more difficult. The dark side of trust and privacy is suspicion and snooping. Did y'all hear that? You want me to repeat it? Make sure you got it. The dark side of trust and privacy is suspicion and snooping. Dr. Frazier had a patient before whose husband would not let her be his Facebook friend. He claimed he was being open with her and forwarding messages he was receiving from his ex-fiance. Uh-oh. Then my patient snooped into his emails and discovered that he had been editing the emails he was forwarding to her and that the original communications had far more intimate content. Perhaps her concerns were valid, but her methods were not. So you need to balance openness with privacy when it comes to social media. And here are some guidelines we're going to cover. First thing, accept your spouse as a friend. Add your spouse on Facebook and share his column with him. Your spouse should be one of your best friends. If he's not, you may be married to the wrong person. Now, I just want to say here that I've heard from other people, especially some couples, and they don't hide anything from their husband, and the husband doesn't hide anything from their wives. So whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Google, whatever, they can go on either one of them, and it's no problem. You know what I mean? It's not any problem at all. So for that case, that's your best friends. I would say in that case, that's the way it should be. If you're a couple and you're together, whether you're married or you're just living together or significant others or even partnership, you should be able, if you've been together for some time, now I ain't talking about you just met the guy and you've been together for 3 months, but I would say at least 6 months to a year that you've been together and develop a relationship, then hopefully at that point in time you don't have to hide anything from each other or lie to each other. You should be telling the truth about what's going on. Okay, so accept your spouse as a friend. Now the next one is don't give out your passwords. Don't give or ask for passwords for email or voicemail accounts. Privacy is healthy. Now remember, this is protection. You're protecting your relationship from the effects of social media. So don't give out your passwords. Don't give or ask for passwords for emails or voicemail accounts. Privacy is healthy. So remember that. I'm not taking back what I just said to share with couples. I mean people outside couples too. You know what I mean? Your information. Okay, number three, share some messages. Discuss or forward messages that impact the relationship, such as correspondence with exes or from people flirting with you. The original version, no edits allowed. Yeah, we do share some messages, even if we're not coupled, just as friends. Okay, next one is don't snoop if feeds paranoia. If you have reason to believe your spouse is being dishonest, confront him. If you are snooping and can't stop, pick up your smartphone and make a smart call to a psychologist so you can address the underlying issues. Hello, let me do this one more time. Don't snoop. It feeds paranoia. If you have reason to believe your spouse is being dishonest, confront him. Like we tell people, don't Facebook and face the person. If you are snooping and you can't stop, you got this addiction, pick up your smartphone and make a smart call to a psychologist so you can address the underlying issues, okay? Because you got problems that deal with more than that man. Okay, and the last one, communicate daily. Get real, not virtual. We can get intimate online. Let your heart, your mind, and voice have some real FaceTime with the one you love. Turn off the computer and turn each other on. Again, communicate daily. Get real, not virtual. We can't get intimate on the line. Let your heart, your mind, and your voice have some real FaceTime with the one you love. And, you know, I'm going to say this, too, not just for couples. Turn off the computer and turn each other on. But not only for couples, But FaceTime, too, with your family, with your children. You know, have some FaceTime. Everybody's just into it. Every time you see them, they got a phone connected to their ear or either in their hand. So, you know, also not only for your husband or your wife, but also give FaceTime to your family, to your children or your grandparents or your cousins or extended family or maybe a close friend, best girlfriend or best guy friend. But do communicate daily in that perspective, okay? And this way you can protect your relationship from the effects of social media. Now, I just want to go back real quick because this is the last show of social media. I haven't decided what we're going to do for the month of May. But anyway, I want to go back through real quick and do the myths. So the first myth was social media is destroying social skills and replacing offline relationships. No. Research shows that social media has enhanced relationships. Obvious benefactors, one, are shut-ins and socially avoidant people. Social media provides connective glue for most times in between. Most social media are used to strengthen existing offline relationships. Social media can connect us to people and opportunities that would not have been possible without it. Myth number two, you have to be on all social networks. They're basically all the same. Okay. I'm back now. You have to be on all social networks. They're basically all the same. This is a myth. You should only be on social networks that work for what you're trying to get done. All communication strategies, personal or business, need to be based on goals. Do you want to see pictures of your grandchildren? Then be on Facebook. Do you want to keep abreast of late-breaking news? Then watch Twitter. Okay? Myth number three, you don't have to be on social media at all to have a full and happy life. What will give you a full and happy life? What are your goals? You may not like the idea of social media, but your kids or grandkids may. You can't expect others to unadopt social media because you don't like it. That's what I'm talking about. People, some people are not tech savvy or computer savvy. Decide what's important and then figure out the best way to get it done. I may prefer to communicate with people by email, but if I want to wish my nieces and nephews a happy birthday, I might do it by text. If you're a professional, people expect a web presence. It is a method of validation. No presence is what looks sketchy now. People want to get to know you before they work with you. Oh, yes, and don't think Facebook has not been number one on firing and hiring. Because people go on there from your job, I'm going to tell you, social media, whether it's Google, Facebook, or Twitter, be careful what you say and who you talk about. Because once you type that and it's on the internet, it's now public. Anybody can see it, not just the World Wide Web. Somebody could go back 5 years from now and pull that up about what you said. So you need to be real careful what you post on social media. People don't tell the truth on social media. This is a myth, so they say. Do some people lie about themselves online? Hell yes, but it's a minority. Research suggests that people are generally fairly truthful and that fakes get busted and ostracized. Nobody likes to be tricked. It's easy to triangulate information and perform a bit of due diligence if you're suspicious. Remember that you present yourselves differently depending upon where you are and what you're up to offline. You don't dress or act the same at a business meeting compared to a tailgate party for your favorite NFL team. That's not fake. That's context-appropriate behavior. Myth five, you can't control your social media presence. True, you can't completely control your social media presence, but, and this is a very big but, it makes a significant difference if you learn how the tools you use work. There are things that you can and should do. We learn how to drive a car before getting on the freeway. Social media are powerful tools, so you should learn to use it before you crash and burn. Learn your privacy settings for each platform. That is mandatory. Okay? Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Yahoo, I don't care, MySpace. Learn privacy settings for each platform. Because you'll have people come in and try and post stuff, and you might could be embarrassed, or you may not want that posted. You may not even want to hear from that person, okay? So just think about that. Learn your privacy settings. Update your profile carefully. Don't give out personal information. It can be accumulated across all sites. Your address, your city, your dog's name, your vacation plans. Okay, think before you speak. Hello, as I say, hello, somebody. The internet is permanent and searchable. Remember grandma's rules, one for grandma and one from her. One for grandma and one from her. The first is don't publish something you wouldn't want your grandma to see. Well, my grandma did. The second is to heed her advice and never talk about someone in an elevator. You never know who's listening. The whole world is an elevator now. Wow. Myth number 6, online relationships aren't real. Online relationships can take longer to achieve a level of intimacy, but they have other advantages. People feel safer and therefore disclose more information about their true selves. Relationships that develop online are often based more on substance and less on looks. While physical cues are very important to understanding meaning, there are always that people deliver that information. There are ways that people deliver that information, such as emoticons or including LOL that indicate humor, sarcasm, anger, etc. Online connections can provide very meaningful links when nothing else is available. A much-loved colleague passed away recently, and at his memorial service was live streamed. That provided those of us who live too far away to attend the opportunity to share that deep emotion. More importantly, it also let us express it to one another via chat windows and begin to process our grief. What started as profound sadness for our loss became an opportunity to reaffirm the connections within the group as a living tribute to a friend. Also, I want to say that the connection is also good for people that are getting married, celebrating an anniversary, celebrating a baby that's getting ready to be born or is born, and you want to talk about that, or, new grandchild, just a lot of things that your online connections can be good, be a good thing. Excuse me. Social media don't do any good. This is a myth. Social media have enabled people to access emergency resources and donate money in crisis. The Red Cross raised $5 million from text messages in the first 24 hours after the earthquake in Haiti. And I'm sure what our last big terrorist thing was France. And social media really helped for connecting, looking for their people or relatives or friends. So, yeah, it does do good. That's a myth. It does do good. Social media have given us a peek into the worlds of others, increasing empathy. Social media has inspired others to take action by believing that they are not alone and that others feel the same way. Such as a shared social unrest that fueled a sense of collective agency that resulted in the Arab Spring. Social media have allowed companies to be more responsive and honest with their customers. Social media exposed a lot of bad behavior that it would take a lot longer to find out about, both locally and globally. Now, I want to say this, because I know at first when Facebook first came on, they were putting pictures of deadbeat fathers, guys that you better not date because they weren't this and that. In fact, they had some site that for guys that weren't any good, you know, or cheating husbands, cheating boyfriends, all that was on. So, yeah, it can expose a lot of bad behavior quicker than it would be by word of mouth or calling somebody on the phone, okay? So anyway, just remember all these things. I hope that they have helped you to understand social media a little bit better. And I hope that also protecting your relationship from the effects of social media has helped you too in different ways. I sure do. And just remember, communicate daily. Get real, not virtual. We can't get intimate online. Let your heart, mind, and voice have some real FaceTime, y'all, with the one you love. Turn off that computer and turn each other on, okay? All right, well, I want to do a couple announcements, and then we'll be coming to the end of the show. So tomorrow is Free Psychic Reading Sundays with Linus and Nina. So I want you to be sure and tune in. The time is at 3 p.m. Pacific time. If you're on the East Coast, it's 6 o'clock. And we're on for an hour and a half, so it's from 3 to 4:30 on the West Coast and 6 to 7:30 on the East Coast. So be sure and join us tomorrow. And one question per caller. The chat room is open, and we love hearing validation. So any of the listening audience out there, if things that we have told you about that were going to come to pass and they did, let us know. We love to hear it. And a quick lineup of the shows for next week. Wednesday in the studio with Linus, entertainment news, sports, news of the weird, hot topics. Thursday, high school agenda with Bakia Green, and it's a show for teenagers, about teenagers and for teenagers, and it is a wonderful show. If you have grandchildren or you have teenagers at home now, tell them to tune in at 4 o'clock Thursday on High School Agenda on blogtalkradio.com/Linus, or just put in High School Agenda. You should see Bakia's face, and you're there. And on Friday, I'm back. Friday traffic jams. Remember, I used to do that. I left for about a year, but I'm back. Friday traffic jams every Friday at 5 o'clock. And in the studio, let me back off. That's at 6 p.m. High school agendas at 4. Friday traffic jams is at 5 o'clock. And on Saturday, whatever the new series is going to be, it's always going to be at 4 p.m. So I thank you, everybody, from around the world listening to the show, and also people that were in the chat room. People that were in the chat room as well as on the phone, thank you for joining me today. I do appreciate it, and I love you for it, and I hope that this series has helped a lot of you. I do pray that it did. Well, if no one's told you that they love you today, I do. And I'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock on Free Psychic Readings.